Morning, if you would, take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 18. And if you would stand for the reading of God's Word, if you're able to, would you stand? Luke chapter 18. We'll be looking at one verse. Luke chapter 18, verse number 1. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. The Bible says in Luke 18, 1, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." This morning I want to give you a message entitled, "The Place of Prayer." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day that you've given to us. Lord, we thank you for a time and the freedom to come together, Lord, and to assemble with fellow believers. Lord, we're so grateful that we have that freedom to do so. And Lord, I pray to this morning that you would be with us, and we thank you for the song service that's already been before us, and we pray that you'll be with the message today. We pray that everything that is said will be honoring and glorifying to you. Lord, we do pray tonight, this morning, that if someone is here that does not know you as their Savior, we pray that they would make that decision today. And Lord, I pray that you would put that burden on their hearts. Help them not leave this place without knowing 100% sure where they would go when they pass from this life. Lord, today we give the message over to you. We pray that you'll just speak to hearts. And Lord, we do pray for the baptism later after the message. Lord, we pray everything will be good with that. And Lord, we again give this time to you. Pray that you use it for your honor and your glory. We ask these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to start this sermon series on prayer, and I believe we can all do some more praying. Amen. I believe we will never arrive at you say, "Well, I've done too much prayer." We will never arrive at that, and I believe that we could all use some time, more time in prayer. And from the beginning of time, men have prayed. In all types of places, at all times, and in every conceivable situation, men have prayed. Christian and heathens alike have spent massive amount of time in prayer, in the pursuit of prayer. However, a few people have made prayer their supreme priority. Those who have stand out as bright and shining lights in this dark world. Many people have chosen to pray when it is convenient for them, or when they are undergoing a time of great stress or trial. Yet it is clear from this verse this morning that Jesus wants us to prayer to hold a preeminent place in our lives. And this morning, as we are going to consider the place of prayer, we're going to see that what God expects from us to be in constant contact with Him. Now, before we begin to talk about the place of prayer that we ought to hold in our lives, we need to understand exactly what prayer is. Knowing what prayer is will help us to see that it deserves to be elevated as one of our top priorities in our Christian lives. Now, what is prayer? Prayer is an invitation to God. Prayer is an invitation to God. It's simply inviting God to take over our lives. It is me admitting my weakness and His power. I'll give you an illustration. Jairus in Mark chapter 5. You remember the story of Jairus? He came to Jesus, and he came on behalf of his daughter. His daughter was dying, and he knew this, and he knew that nothing that he could do could help his daughter. All he knew was Jesus could help him, and he knew the source, and he came to Jesus. And I want you to look right, we're close by, look over in Mark chapter 5, verse number 22. Mark 5, 22, we see the account of Jairus coming to Jesus. Mark chapter 5, verse number 22 and 23, it says in Mark 5, 22, "And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. And he besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." See, Jairus had faith that Jesus would heal his daughter. He said, "I pray thee." He knew that he could not do of his own. He was weak in this area, but he knew that Jesus had the power to answer his prayers. You see, and we go through it, and we know that God answered that prayer. God healed Jairus' daughter. But prayer is an invitation. It's saying that I cannot do this, but God can. Prayer is work. Can I tell you, prayer is a work. True praying is not for the lazy. You see, true prayer may require you to get up early in the morning or stay up late in the evening. You know, prayer is our greatest, prayer is never really finished until it has grown feet and gone to work. You see, this morning, prayer takes a great amount of work. You know, there's not a specific time you have to pray. You don't have specifically to get up early in the morning. You don't have to. There is a specific, you can make time in throughout your day to pray. You know, you may not be a morning person. You could be a night owl, so to speak, and you could pray. But maybe you say, well, I do better praying in the afternoon. Well, that's fine. Wherever you may, you ought to have prayer throughout your day. Amen? Regardless of where it is. But prayer takes work. Prayer is also a battle. Can I tell you, Satan does not fear or withstand our prayerlessness, but he will bitterly oppose our prayer efforts. You see, people who don't pray, Satan is not going to fight you. But if you're in constant contact with God, if you're praying, he's going to battle you. He's going to continue to try to throw you off. He's going to try to tempt you with things. He's trying to give you distractions. Have you ever been in a place where it seems like you're trying to get alone with God and all of a sudden you hear like a distraction? I know I have time to time. I've heard trains go by that I've never heard in years that have gone by. I've heard you hear bugs flying around or birds chirping. You hear anything. Satan will try to use anything to get your mind off of praying. But you see, prayer is a constant battle. Prayer is our greatest weapon in the battle between good and evil. Prayer is a battle. If you are praying like you should, you will be in a battle with the devil daily. He will fight you daily, each and every time, as long as you are praying. And I'll say this, if you're praying that God would help you, you can rest assured that he will help you win those battles. Prayer is also power. You think of Moses, David, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Elijah, Paul, and Silas, and all these Bible characters down through the ages of time, we see that prayer is powerful. Prayer is the greatest power that we have on the face of earth. Daniel prayed that God would shut the mouth of the lions. God answered that prayer. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in the face of the fiery furnace, stood up for God. They knew that God that they prayed to would protect them. God answered. Paul and Silas, they prayed and sang praises to God at midnight. God sent an earthquake and loosened them from their chains. George Mueller, you know, anybody remember George Mueller down throughout history? George Mueller was a man who started the orphanage for children. They didn't have anything to feed the children, so they prayed. God provided with bread and milk. You know, prayer is a powerful, and can I tell you, it still works today. I'm convinced that God still hears and he still answers prayers. Prayer is a developer. Prayer is a Christian's wardrobe. Prayer is a communication with God. There is an unbroken line between earth and the Father. When we pray, we ought to pray. We are brought into his presence. We don't have to have a telephone to pray to God. You can sit and bow your head and pray to God right where you're sitting. I'm so thankful. Aren't you grateful that you don't have to use a cell phone or do an email to get in touch with God? Amen. I'm so thankful for that. We have a direct communication line with God. But prayer, with all that in mind, let's look together at the place of prayer, where it should have. Number one this morning, prayer ought to be a priority. Prayer must be a priority. This theme is repeated throughout the Bible. We're to remain in constant in the spirit of prayer. We see in our scripture reference, Luke chapter 18, verse 1, it says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says, pray without ceasing. Now, let me say this. It doesn't mean you have to pray 24/7. But when it says in our scripture reference, always to pray, it doesn't mean constant all the time. It means that we continually do it daily. We ought to be in a communication with God. You have a best friend, probably, and I would say you know this person and you want to communicate with them. You want to talk with them. You want to have that fellowship with them. It's the same situation between you and God. We are to always pray. We're to always have that communication with God as if He were right there with us. By the way, He is there with us. We may not be able to see Him like I could see you and you could see me, but He is there listening and wants you to that communication with you. Prayer ought to be a priority. Many of in the Bible have placed a high priority in prayer. You think of Job in Job chapter 1. Job, he rose up early in the morning. Job 1 verse 5 says that he rose up early in the morning. He made it a priority to get up every single day and start his day out with prayer. And we see through the life of Job that it seems trouble and trial came his way, but he never lost his faith. He never once cursed God, even though he had his sons and daughters and all his cattle and all his possessions. They were all taken away from him. His wife said, curse God and die. He never once did. Why? Because he knew he served the one true God. He knew that God was faithful. And because Job had such faith and that Job had that great relationship with God, we see that God blessed him greatly. You think of Abraham. Abraham, throughout his life, in Genesis 12, 7, 8, and through on in the book of Genesis, we see that he built altars for the Lord. He worshiped God. He prayed to God. He made a priority of prayer. Moses talked with God. David, the Psalms are filled with David's prayers. You could see, if you read the book of Psalms, you see David's prayer life. Prayer is also the secret of David's fearlessness. Elijah prayed that God would help him. Daniel prayed. Jesus even made a priority of prayer. Amen? And if the Son of God, I want you to look in, I'll touch on that later. But if the Son of God had to pray, how much more ought people to pray? If Jesus made it a priority to prayer, then we ought to be after that as well. Jesus takes, I believe that we ought to make a prayer a priority. Is prayer a priority in your life? Can I tell you it should be? It is your lifeline to the Father. Our prayer life should be a priority. Whether you get up early in the morning, whether you stay up late at night, whatever time works for you, you should incorporate a time to get alone between you and the Lord. This is not a time for just to say, well, I did get alone with God. I'm sitting there. You ought to pray to Him. Ask Him. Thank Him for what He's given you in your life. Look, prayer is not just a time where we come and make our request and be known to God. Yes, that should be part of it, but we all should thank God for what He's already given to us. Look, God's not a genie in a bottle to give us three wishes. What God is He is our Creator. Look, He gave us everlasting life should we choose to accept it. He gave us the breath of life. He gave us the ability to get up in the morning. He gave us everything that we own. We ought to thank Him for all those things. But Jesus, I believe we ought to make prayer a priority in our life. Not only must prayer be a priority, but I want you to notice number two, prayer must be a prerequisite. Prayer must be a prerequisite. We should do nothing in any area of life without first taking time to saturate the matter in prayer. You see, even Jesus preceded His activities with prayer. Look in John chapter 6, verse number 11. We're close by there too. Look at John chapter 6, verse number 11. This is the feeding of the 5,000. John chapter 6, verse number 11. The Bible says, and Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. See, Jesus gave thanks before He blessed, before He gave the food out. You know what this tells me? We ought to pray before our meals. Amen? Now, I've prayed throughout my time, Jesus bless this food. Amen? But look, it's more than that. We ought to be thank God that you're able to have food. Amen. There are people on the other side of this country that don't know where their next meal is going to come from. Yet we sit with a packed full pantry thinking there's nothing to eat. You know, we ought to thank God for those meals. Jesus did before the feeding of the 5,000. But he also prayed for the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Look in John chapter 11. John chapter 11, verse number 41. John 11, 41. John 11, 41 says, "Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, 'Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me.'" Jesus prayed before he raised Lazarus. You know what he was doing? He prayed before doing something daily. And that ought to be what we do. Before we go out, before we do something, we ought to pray to God before we do anything. Jesus prayed before his trial and crucifixion. In Luke 22, you'll flip over to Luke 22, verse 41. Luke 22, verse 41, it says, And he was withdrawn from them about the stones cast, Luke 22:41, the Bible says, "And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, 'Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done.'" Jesus prayed during the hard times. He knew he was coming to die on the cross. He prayed during the hard times. Can I tell you, we need to pray during the hard times as well? Oh, it's easy to pray during our hard times, isn't it? It's easy to pray when things are going wrong in our lives. But can I tell you, we need to be praying when things are going good in our lives as well. But see, Jesus here was praying during the hard times, and that's what we ought to be doing. Jesus also, before becoming sin on the cross, one chapter over in Luke 23, verse 34, the Bible says Jesus is on the cross here, and it says, "Then said Jesus, 'Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.'" Jesus was praying for others as he was dying on the cross. How much more should we be praying for others around us? That's what we should be doing. We should be praying to others who persecute us, those who mock us. Jesus was doing it. Why can't we do it? There may be somebody that may be offending you. You know what? You ought to be praying for them. You ought to be praying that God would help them and save their soul. But you see, if Jesus made it a priority to pray and a prerequisite to pray, how much more should we as Christians pray? Especially in the realm of spiritual activity, is prayer important? When we attempt to perform spiritual work in the power of the flesh, we are doomed for failure or self-glorification. However, if we will carry out God's work with the power of prayer, we can be certain that we will succeed and that He will get all the glory. The preparation gained in the closet of a secret prayer is far more valuable than that gained in the study. You see, we need to make a habit of praying before going out and doing our daily activities. I remember back when I had my last job, you know, what we should be doing is praying before we even go to work every day. Maybe those who work, you should be praying as soon as you get up in the morning. Look, you'd have no idea what the day is going to hold. You may think you know. You may think, well, I'm going to go to work or I'm going to do this. I've got this activity. But look, we'd have no idea what's going to be before us. We don't know if something's going to happen, if a drastic event is going to happen, but can I say that we need to wake up in our morning and we ought to thank God for giving us another day? And let me say that if you start your day out with prayer, you will have a better day than you think you will. Now look, does that mean that something bad is going to happen? Absolutely not. There may be still things that come in your life, but let me tell you that I would rather start out my day in prayer than to go a whole day without it. Prayer must be a priority, but prayer must also be a prerequisite. But I want you to notice number three this morning, prayer must be practiced. In our verse in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, says that men ought always to pray and not faint. It isn't enough to know prayer formulas, rules, or promises. To make true, effective prayer, we must practice praying. We need to get ourselves busy in the business of prayer. Can I tell you, there is too much needs this morning and there's too little time in this world. That word always does not mean 24/7. It means continually, daily. When we are not in a custom of praying, we may need to pray desperately to know how. Look, weak praying begets weak living. Weak praying begets weak living. We must be diligent in our prayer life if we want to be effective for the Lord. You may have heard the phrase, practice makes perfect. Can I tell you, there is no perfect prayer. There is no perfect prayer. You say, well, I don't know the words to say. I don't know if I could come before God. And so, look, you don't have to pray specific words. You can just talk to God. That's all you need to do. That's what we ought to be. It's like having communication, a conversation with a friend. Look, I'm so amazed when I hear people, I hear people have that conversation mode with God. Like you're talking to him right there in the room. It's amazing people pray like that. And I hope that one day that my prayer life could be exactly like that, like just a communication life with a friend. It's amazing. And you know what it shows me? It shows they are bathed their lives in prayer. They continue to pray daily for me or for anybody else that they have. But maybe your prayer life is not like that. Maybe your prayer life is like, well, maybe it's coming to Him for just some needs. Or maybe it's you only pray once in a while to Him. Can I tell you this morning, there is no perfect prayer, and that you don't have to specifically pray this, like the sinner's prayer. But look, you can just talk with God, get alone with God. You don't have to pray for 2 hours. You could pray for a few minutes. And it'd be just as good as those who pray for 2 hours. But if you just mean it, if you pray to God and have that good relationship with Him, it doesn't matter the time limit. There's no time limit that you have to meet. There's no status quo of different kinds. But look, prayer must be practiced. And if prayer is practiced in the home, you can rest assured that if you continue to pray, then if you add the prayer request and the praises and the thanksgiving, you will see your prayers last longer than when they did when you first started. It's amazing when people get that time frame of, you say, I don't know what to pray for. Look, just thank God for the people in your life. Thank God for everything that you have. Praise the Lord for the good church you have. Praise God that you were able to get up and learn. You'll see God bless in your life. You'll see your prayer continue to go longer and longer throughout your days. But on a scale of 10, let me ask you this morning, how would you rate your prayer life? If we're all honest with ourselves, we know that it's not a 10. If we all are honest, we know that we can improve. I know I can improve in my prayer life. You know I'm held as a higher standard, but look, I'm a sinner just like everybody in here. I'm human. I forget to pray sometimes. And we need to come to God and just pray to Him. Ask Him for forgiveness for not doing more. Look, we can all do more for the Lord. And you know, one thing I want to do, and I'm going to share this on Vision Sunday too, but one thing I want to do is I want to get our church bathed in prayer. The Bible says that Jesus said, my house should be called a house of prayer. And I believe we ought to be praying when we come to the house of God. Amen. And what I want to do is I want to be able to have the prayer meetings. I know the ladies already have a prayer meeting, but I want to have a men's prayer meeting too at the exact same time. We need to pray that whoever comes through those doors will hear the gospel. We don't know who's going to come through the doors. We don't know if somebody's looking for answers. We don't know if they're looking for salvation. We need to pray that God will bless over the service and it will speak to hearts. I want to have prayer. I want to have prayer before the message. I want to be able to come together to an altar. If you're physically able to, I'd like to be able to pray us as a church to come to the altar and pray God would use the message and the messenger, whether it's myself or whether it's somebody else in this pulpit. I want to be able to pray that God would bless in the service, that God would be present here. Look, we need to be in the practice of prayer. Amen. And just as much as a church, we need to be practicing prayer. We need to be practicing individually in our own homes. You say, well, I come and I come to church, I pray. Well, praise the Lord, you do that. But what are you like when you leave this place and go home for the rest of the week? We need to have a effectual, fervent prayer life. We need to be talking to God daily. But this morning, we're talking about the place of prayer. What place does it have in your life? Is it your priority? Do you make it a priority to get up in the morning or stay up late in the evening or whatever time you have? Do you have that priority that, look, I'm going to pray to God before the day ends. I'm going to continue to pray. Is that a priority in your life, or is it just taking a back seat to other things in your life? You know, a lot of times we get in the busyness of the day, in our daily routine, that we forget to pray to God. We have our daily routine of going to work, having things that we have in our life, whatever the case may be. But you know that prayer is not the priority in your life. Can I tell you this morning that we need to have prayer as one of our top priorities? God should be in the center of our lives. We ought to be praying to God, having Him in our lives, touching, asking Him to help us throughout our daily activities. But also, it must be a prerequisite. We need to have God. We need to pray before we do anything. We need to pray that God would bless in whatever activity that we do. We need to have it practiced. This morning, what does prayer hold? Where does the place of prayer hold in your life? Can I ask, can we agree that right here today that we will make prayer a priority in our lives? Not just individually. We need to do that individually. But can I ask this morning for Grace Baptist Church that we need to make prayer a priority in our church? That's the way it needs to be. It needs to be top priority. This morning, where is the place of prayer in your life? And we're going to continue to go through the sermon series of we're going to talk about the place of prayer and the power of prayer and everything about that. But we need to ask yourself, where is your